لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله، السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله، السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين، السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموت، السلام عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت، وبقي الليل والنهار. يا أبا عبد الله، لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام، وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات. فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت، ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها، ولعن الله أمة قتلتكم، ولعن الله الممهدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم ومن أشياعهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم. يا أبا عبد الله، إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة. ولعن الله آل زياد وآل مروان، ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة، ولعن الله ابن مرجان، ولعن الله عمر بن سعد، ولعن الله شمرا، ولعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتنقبت لقتالك بأبي أنت وأمي، لقد عظم مصابي بك. فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم اجعلني عندك وجيها بالحسين عليه السلام في الدنيا والآخرة يا أبا عبد الله، إني أتقرب إلى الله وإلى رسوله وإلى أمير المؤمنين وإلى فاطمة وإلى الحسن وإليك بموالاتك وبالبراءة ممن أسس أساس ذلك وبنى عليه بنيانه وجرى في ظلمه وجوره عليكم وعلى أشياعكم. بنيت إلى الله وإليكم منهم، وأتقرب إلى الله ثم إليكم بموالاتكم وموالاة وليكم وبالبراءة من أعدائكم والناصبين لكم الحار وبالبراءة من أشياعهم وأتباعهم. إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن والاكم وعدو لمن عاداكم. فأسأل الله الذي أكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة، وأن يثبت لي عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة، وأسأله أن يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله، وأن يرزقني طلب ثاركم مع إمام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم. وأسأل الله بحقكم وبالشأن الذي لكم عنده أن يعطيني بمصابي بكم أفضل ما يعطي مصابا بمصيبته، مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام وفي جميع السماوات والأرض. اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله منك صلوات ورحمة ومغفرة. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد، ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إن يوم عاشوراء يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وابن آكلة الأكباد اللعين ابن اللعين، على لسانك ولسان نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد بن معاوية عليهم منك اللعنة أبد الآبدين. ويوم عاشوراء يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مروان بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه. اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعن منك والعذاب الأليم. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقفي هذا أيام حياتي بالبراءة منهم واللعنة عليهم وبالموالاة لنبيك وآل نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم خص أنت أول ظالم باللعن مني وابدأ به أولا ثم لعن الثانية والثالثة والرابعة. اللهم لعن يزيد خامسا ولعن عبيد الله بن زياد وابن مرجان وعمر بن سعد وشمرا وآل أبي سفيان وآل زياد وآل مروان إلى يوم القيامة. اللهم لك الحمد حمد الشاكرين لك على مصابهم. الحمد لله على عظيم رزيتي. اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الورود وثبت لي قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام.
Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. Just a few quick reminders and just a few announcements. This week we'll have our weekly Dua Kamal session on Thursday, and we'll commemorate the martyrdom of Lady Sakina Salamullah Alaiha on Friday and Saturday. Please note that all programs, just like tonight, will start at 8:15 p.m. The Thursday program will be live stream only. While the Friday and Saturday program for next week will be in this drive-through format. If you would like to listen to the speech in your car, please tune your radio in to 90.5 FM to listen to it. As a reminder, all our guests are required to abide by the following guidelines for our drive-in sessions. Please observe 6 feet physical distance and wear a mask. If you would like to leave your car for the speech or let me, please stay on the X's marked on the ground. Please be sure to park your vehicle in the spot marked on the ground. Please don't bring any food items for distribution from home. Packaged tabaruk and drinks will be provided at the center following the health guidelines. If you would like to sponsor a program, please speak to a volunteer at the donation table if you would like to sign up. Do not litter the parking lot. Use the trash bins placed at the entrance. We also have a sanitizing station at the entrance for your convenience. The indoor facility will be limited to bathroom use only on an individual basis. Lastly, please follow all volunteer instructions. For those who would like to tune into these sessions remotely, our live streams can be found on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram live at Al-Walaya anywhere, everywhere. If you would like to be notified in advance of our latest programming, you can subscribe to our weekly newsletter by giving your email address to one of the volunteers. Please recite a Surah Fatiha for all Shuhada of Islam, the Marhumin named on memorial plaque, and all Marhumin. With that, I would like to invite Hujjat Islam Sheikh Hamza Sadagar to come up and deliver his speech. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين for the hastening and the return of our Imam. Let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us during these times of various fitan. We had been warned, we have been told, ever since I, in this era, meaning this has been handed down to us, this is what I'm trying to say, that as a child we kept hearing the ends of times, the time getting closer to the coming of the Imam of our time, there will be plenty of fitan. And so this has been something that was not only just mentioned briefly to some individual in some back room somewhere by the Ahlul Bayt, but repeatedly mentioned. And that echoed by the ulama, by the students of the Ahlul Bayt during the occultation, handed down to us where today all of us hear this, all of us know this, all of us are aware that living during these times is going to mean we are living and experiencing multiple fitan more than before. What we need to do during times as such, the times that we are in, is to understand what we have been told regarding these times and how we have been told to tread our course without going off course during these times. It's fine to repeat words like, oh, these are times of fitna. It's easy to repeat that. Many times, those who repeat it are falling into fitna. Those who repeat it are some of us who are not treading our course the way we should be. How do we do that? Why were we told of this? What does this mean? Let's start with something that I think has been mentioned a number of times, but as much as it has been mentioned by some at least, I feel many of us still have other meanings perhaps in mind of this. The word fitna is a little ambiguous to us. We think that it literally means fights, it means disputes, it means things that have to do with violence, and many times we hear that in the context of such matters and violence. However, the word fitna, as used in the Quran and in the language of the Ahlul Bayt, doesn't seem to have that meaning, although that can be one of the consequences of fitna. That can be one of the items on the list of those who create fitna. After the demise of the Prophet, there was a big fitna. Was there bloodshed? No, one person was martyred. Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. It was one martyr. It wasn't a big battle that took place. There were some other forms of violence as well. Dragging Ali ibn Abi Talib to the masjid, burning down the door of the house of prophethood. That's the house of prophethood. That's the house of the Prophet whose door was burnt down. And then the people in it are dragged to the mosque of the Prophet to do something against the wish of the Prophet, against the direct orders of the Prophet, in broad daylight. This is a fitna. The violence part of it is minimal. Violence does not define fitna. Wars don't define fitna. Bloodshed and killing does not define fitna. Fitna is where things are made, as Amir al-Mu'mineen defines fitna, إِنَّمَا بَدْءُ وُقُوعِ الْفِتَنِ أَهْوَاءٌ تُتَّبَعُ وَأَحْكَامٌ تُبْتَدَعُ. There are desires which are followed and a few other things that are mentioned. There are leaders of fitna. Amir al-Mu'mineen talks about that for another time. This part of the hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen is very important for us to remind each other constantly during these times. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, لَوْ كَانَ الْحَقِّ خَلَصْ لَمْ يُخَفْ عَلَى ذِي حِجَةِ لَوْ كَانَ الْحَقِّ خَلَصْ, excuse me, لَمْ يَكُنْ اِخْتِلَافِ. If everybody was saying the truth, there'll be no dispute, there'll be no difference. There wouldn't be one people pushing in one direction, another people pushing in another direction, if they're all saying the haqq, the truth. And then he says, وَلَوْ كَانَ الْبَاطِلْ خَلَصْ. If it's only batil, if what the one party is saying is purely lies, only lies, things that are evidently wrong, things that are evidently lies, very clearly. If that would be the case, لَمْ يُخَفْ عَلَى ذِي حِجَّةٍ. Someone, anyone who has even very basic intellectual skills, be able to tell, this is a lie, that's true, let's just move on. There wouldn't be an issue. وَلَكِنْ يُؤْخَذْ مِنْ هَذَا الظِّغْثِ وَمِنْ هَذَا الظِّغْثِ فَيُمْزَجَانِ فَهُنَالِكَ اسْتَحْوَذَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِ. This is the definition of fitna. This is what a fitna means. It means there are two parties involved, two main directions. One is haqq and one is batil. When you have two ahlul batil fighting each other, there's not really a haqq involved there for there to be a fitna. And that shouldn't be too difficult to tell either. Fitna is in the context of one group trying to take people in the wrong direction. People are not moving in that wrong direction. They want to take them to that wrong direction. How do they do so? They don't present lies, blatant lies only. They take some haqq and some batil, fayumzajan, they're mixed. Truth and falsehood. Truths and lies. True statement and lies. The truth is made ambiguous. You can't see the truth, or it's difficult. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to portray falsehood as the truth, wrong as right, by mixing right, good, haqq, verses of the Quran, sayings of the Prophet, true facts. By mixing that with the batil, they're trying to feed you. It's like a bitter poison that you don't want to swallow. They add sugar to it. So you would think it's candy, and you have it and it kills you. That sweetness comes from haqq, the truth. Different elements of truth, different things that are truth. For Muslimin, a certain type of truth. For example, verses of the Quran, a hadith of the Prophet. For non-Muslims, another thing. The world is told that we're going into Iraq to do what? To take democracy. You want to take down Saddam Hussein. Yes, Saddam Hussein is a horrible person. That's a big lie though, that you're going to take him down. That's a big lie that you want to take democracy to these people. You're the one that has given them Saddam Hussein. You know that. If others don't, you know. And now that you want to take him, it's not because you want to take him. How do they do this? They feed misinformation. They keep repeating weapons of mass destruction. Saddam is this, Saddam is that. We need to take him out. The times that we are in, the Ahlul Bayt told us and warned us from before, there will be multiple fitan. In other words, you're going to be dealing with different factions trying to pull you to the right or the left, somewhere off course, different people, different agendas, each of them for their own personal reasons, for their own gains and benefits. There's going to be plenty of that. When we're told this, brothers and sisters, what does this tell us we need to do? How do we deal with this situation? How do we deal with this? If we're told by the Ahlul Bayt that you're going to be dealing with that, they're not simply telling us, know that in the future there will be this. So what? Why? There's many things that will happen in the future. Why did they tell us of some of those? Did they tell us there's going to be a Saddam Hussein? No, they didn't tell us there's going to be a Saddam Hussein. Did they tell us there's going to be a Trump? No, they didn't tell us there's going to be a Trump. What they told us will happen is for a reason. We're supposed to know. Those are the conditions. What is that reason that they have told us and given us this information? They are a'immatul huda. They're trying to guide us. If they're trying to guide us, it means that in order for us to get through these various fitan, which are like strong, huge waves trying to push the ummah in one direction or the other, you don't want to be washed off with one of these waves. Know that these waves are coming. What is the wave made of? It doesn't say wars. It doesn't say bloodshed for you to prepare militarily. It says fitna. And then you go to Amirul Mu'mineen, he explains to you what fitna is. How do we deal with this? The A'imma are saying, prepare yourselves. They will try to feed batil to you in the form of haqq. And they will try to tell you haqq is batil, to take you away from it. Prepare yourselves for that. Each and every one of us has got an obligation, as Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullah alayhi said in those difficult times, that he said for that time as well. Now the time of fitan has begun. That's why he described fitna. The first speech he gave after people stormed his house. According to one account, he says, I felt like I was going to lose Hasanain salamullah alayhima. Under the stampede of so many people rushing to the house. After finally he said, okay, I'll accept. He gave a talk. He delivered a sermon. He said, these are times now similar to the times of the Prophet. Because the Ummah was moving in a direction off course from the time of the Prophet, and Shaitan, in a sense, was leaving the Ummah alone. Let them go. Now that an imam is in charge, wants to take him back to the path of haqq, shaitan is going to come and shayateen will rise and fitan will be created. Fitna after fitna after fitna after fitna. 5 whole years of fitna Ali ibn Abi Talib had to deal with, salamullah alayh, and his Shia had to deal with during that time. The imams told us, close to the time of the coming of the imam, you're going to be dealing with a lot of fitna. What did the imam that led the ummah on that level for 5 years tell his people what you need to do? He said, learn the truth. Learn the truth. Don't follow people. Don't say that I have this person or that person. Follow the truth. Find the truth. Know the truth. Yes, in the end, Aliyun ma'a al-haq wal-haqqu ma'a Ali yaduru haythu dar. If you're following Ali ibn Abi Talib, then you're always going to be on the path of haqq. But Ali is telling you, if you don't understand haqq, you won't be with Ali. You won't follow Ali. If you want to be with Ali ibn Abi Talib, who is ma'al haqq, wal haqqu ma'a Ali. There's never a time that haqq is anywhere else. But if you don't learn to identify haqq itself, and based on that, with understanding, understand why Aliyun ma'a al-haq wal-haqqu ma'a Ali yaduru haythu dar. If there isn't understanding, Ali says, you can't follow me. There's another saying from him that states the same thing in a different wording. He says, لا يحمل هذا العلم إلا أهل البصر والصبر. You can't follow Ali unless you're أهل البصر. You can see the truth, both in theory both understand what haqq is from the Quran, what the general rules of Islam are, what the sunnah of the Prophet was, as opposed to what is being presented as the sunnah of the Prophet, and the application of it. Who is the mu'min that the Quran describes? And who is the fasiq that the Quran describes? And who is the munafiq that the Quran describes? And who is the kafir that the Quran describes? Knowing the theory is not sufficient. Knowing haqq, understanding haqq, is a combination of understanding the theory and seeing the application. If you go to school, you learn a whole bunch of theories, you know it very accurately, but you don't know what it looks like, you're never going to be a surgeon. You're never even going to be a doctor. They make you go through experience. You got to see it. You have to have someone that helps you with that, helps you when you make errors. You have to see it. You have to experience it. You have to be able to tell the symptoms. The theory alone is not enough. You have to be able to tell. Ali ibn Abi Talib says, if you want to be with Ali, you have to know the haqq. He says, don't just follow a person. If you're just following people without this element of knowing haqq, one day you're following Ali, like Shimr did in Safin. Next day you're following Yazid, like Shimr did in Karbala. It's following people. If you don't have ma'rifah, if you don't know haqq, and you don't follow haqq, based on that, follow Ali ibn Abi Talib, you can't be with Ali ibn Abi Talib at all times. Amir al-Mu'mineen tells us this. During these times, brothers, sisters, it is an obligation more than ever before. It's always an obligation. The Prophet said, according to the words that are attributed to him, العلم فريضة على كل مؤمن ومؤمنة. Knowledge is necessary. This is sometimes used to encourage people to study better at school, learn their math better, learn their sciences better, learn their sociology better, learn their psychology. That's not what the Prophet is referring to. The most important knowledge that everyone is required to know that will affect their life here and the hereafter, whether you know math or you don't know math, whether you have these technologies or you don't, whether we have developed the vaccine for corona or we haven't. Some people will live through this, some people will die. Whether you live or you die, the knowledge of haqq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given is necessary. It's going to make post this death, which is eternal, be good or bad. That is the most necessary knowledge that everyone needs to have. Otherwise, someone may be good in math, another may be good in literature. Each know their own things. That's fine. What's necessary for all is this knowledge. It's always been necessary for us to learn. It's always necessary for us to learn the Quran, study the Quran, read the Quran. It's always important for us to spend time with the words of the Ahlul Bayt, find resources that we can access the words of the Ahlul Bayt in whatever means possible. It's always necessary. There's never a time where this is not important. However, when the Ahlul Bayt emphasize that during the time of the occultation, near the coming of the Imam, you will deal with fitan. Fitna is when they will take part of the truth of the Quran and Hadith, sayings of the Prophet, sayings of the Ahlul Bayt, truths that you're living with, they'll take that, they'll add it to the evil that they want to feed you. You need to prepare by learning more. Wallah, it's necessary for us to learn more this haqq, the truth of the Qur'an, the words of the Ahlul Bayt. Each of us. It's not enough to listen to speakers. It's not enough. This speaker presents the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib one way. The other speaker presents the same hadith in a completely different way. How do you know which is right? You have to be familiar with the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Most of all, more than the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib, that sometimes can be confusing because they'll present it to you with a book that everyone around you tells you this book is very credible. And how can you pick and choose? You don't know. The Quran is available to all of us. The Prophet said, whatever is attributed to me that does not match the Quran, hit it against the wall. فَضْرِبُوهُ عَلَى الْجِدَارِ. Do not consider it reliable at all. The Imam said, take the words that are attributed to us, present them to the Quran, see if it matches the Quran or not. How can I do that if I don't even know what the Quran says? If I don't know what the Quran says. The Khawarij, this deviant group that Ali ibn Abi Talib considered one of the more difficult fitan, that after he defeated them and he said, I took the eye out, he said, it's not the end of them. They constantly repeated verses of the Quran. Anything they did, verse of the Quran. People get confused. Why? They're not familiar enough with the Quran. If you're familiar with the Quran, you understand the Quran. When they give you a verse, misapplying it, mistranslating it, misinterpreting it, misusing it, you're already familiar with that. If not that specific verse, another verse that talks about the same idea. If we don't do this, then how are we going to be familiar enough with haqq? Where do we get that truth? If they're going to disguise truth as falsehood and falsehood as truth, if we don't know the truth, how can we? We have got to, brothers and sisters, I have repeated this, I will continue to repeat this. It is necessary for us, every single one of us, we're obligated. Wallah, it's an obligation. I don't know how else to put this. Look at the Quran. The Quran is speaking to each and every one of us. If we pick it up to read, and we don't simply think that it's something to read in the month of Ramadan with a nice voice, just hear something and move on. We feel like we did our religious obligation. We read the Quran from cover to cover and it sounded really nice. Alhamdulillah. No, that's not enough. Every time you read that Quran, it's an opportunity to understand it further. Look at it again. Read that line again. And it speaks to you more. This is how we know haqq. This is how we know the truth. Those who have this, they're able to determine what the truth is. Those who don't have that, they won't be. There's another thing that is necessary at times of fitna that we're told to prepare for, that the hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen mentions as well. besides what fitna means, which is the mixing of truth and falsehood, and that itself tells us the preparation we need in that way. There's another thing Amir al-Mu'mineen says, Salamullah alayh, that's very important. That is, there's a spiritual aspect to being able to steer through fitan. There's a spiritual aspect to it. It's not only knowledge. It's not only knowing the verses of the Qur'an. It's not only knowing the ahadith of the Prophet or the Ahlul Bayt. If you only have that, it's not going to save us from fitna. Because some of those, in fact, according to Ali ibn Abi Talib, the leaders of fitna know exactly what they're doing. They are from amongst the Muslimin. Amir al-Mu'mineen talks about that time where he's living amongst Muslimin. These are people who identify as Muslimin. It's not only the knowledge. That's very extremely important, as we mentioned. But there is another element there. The spiritual element. The element of the heart. The qalb, the heart wanting to be on the right path. The heart truly wanting to be on the right path. Genuinely, really. Not just lip service, not just... The heart is wanting to be on the right path, even if it means giving everything up. That's genuine. That's sincere. It says, God, I don't know if you want this or the other. Whatever it is, if it's my life you want, I'm willing. Just show me what it is. I really want to know what you want me to do. A person needs that. Otherwise, if my heart is not wanting to follow haqq, then as Amir al-Mu'mineen, these are the words, هُنَالِكَ اسْتَحْوَضَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِ. He doesn't say those who don't know the Qur'an will go that path. That's understood from the earlier part, that you need to know the Qur'an because they take haqq and batil. You need to know what it is. But what he emphasizes on, which is more fundamental, is this. He says, هُنَالِكَ اسْتَحْوَضَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ أَوْلِيَائِهِ. That's where shaitan is going to take his awliya. Those who are awliya or shaitan are going to follow him towards hell. He takes his bunch in a different direction. They all seem to be on the same path. They all seem to be Muslimin. They all seem to be the Shia of the Ahlul Bayt. They seem to be in one line. We seem to be in one line. We all line up and beat our chests. We all cry for the Ahlul Bayt. We seem to be the same. Fitna comes. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, هُنَالِكَ اسْتَحْوَضَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ أَوْلِيَاءِ. There are some of us that are awliya'u shaytan. If we're awliya'u shaytan, there's no way. The fitna is where shaitan is going to take us off. That's just what's going to happen. Amir al-Mu'mineen tells us. And the others are, وَنَجَى الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَى. Those who have a good track record with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were wording it in this way. A person who's really wanting to follow the truth. Their heart wants it. The heart gravitates towards Allah. The heart has wilaya of Allah, not wilaya of shaitan. If a heart doesn't have wilaya of Allah, and even if it has all the knowledge, information, data, it still will not cause a person to go in the right direction. No, then God forbid, we will be of those that will go in the wrong direction knowingly and be of the leaders of kufr, just like Iblis himself is. He knows he's wrong, and he's moving in that direction and taking all these people to hell. That spiritual element is very important. It shouldn't be taken lightly. It shouldn't be taken for granted that if I'm coming to these majalis, or if I'm attending lectures, or if I'm doing my prayers in the way we generally do, that we're going to be saved. The killers of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein were rushing to kill him so they can pray. That's one of the things that's been recorded in history. They were rushing to pray. Behind whom? Umar ibn Sa'd, la'natullah alayh, the one who led the army against Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, knowing that he's going to go to hell if you do that. He does that. That doesn't mean he doesn't pray. He still prays. After that, he still prayed. It's not about what this body does. That prayer that Umar ibn Sa'd is involved with, that Shimr is involved with, it looks like prayer. But these are awliya'u shaytan. But it does look like prayer. What I do looks like prayer. It's not about the appearance, it's the spirit of it, it's the essence of it. What's the essence? What's the heart? The first point regarding this is to consider it important, brothers and sisters. The Quran keeps repeating, it keeps repeating this line, وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. Look at what you are preparing for yourself for the hereafter. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Or those who have believed. It's for us, it's not for the kuffar, not those for you believed. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Believe. Believe, check your beliefs. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Has the time not come for those who believe that their hearts tremble in the remembrance of Allah? Is the heart there? Check yourself. Consider it important. Don't wait for a fitna to be tested. And then, God forbid, find out that I wasn't there. This is very important. We need this. We need these reminders. Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi wa salawatuhu alayhi wa ruhi fida. He used to call upon some of his companions, this ma'soom, to advise me, remind me. These ears need to hear wa'adh, reminders, advice. He used to remind himself, this is Ali ibn Abi Talib. He sees orphans, he sees widows complaining. He turns on the oven for them. And he puts his face there according to the account. Says, Ali, feel the heat. We don't like to be reminded. That's not good. Ali teaches us, remind yourself of hell. Ali will never feel the heat of hellfire. Never. Yet he tells himself, feel the heat. Feel the heat. Be reminded. We need reminders, brothers, sisters. We need to check ourselves. What do we need to check ourselves with? What do we need to do? That line from Amir al-Mu'mineen is very meaningful. نجا الذين سبقت لهم من الله الحسنى. Those who have a good track record. Do I have a good track record? Everyone for themselves. فلتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد. Each nafs, each of us, look within. There's nothing anyone needs to prove to anybody else. No one's going to lie in anyone else's grave. No one is going to be answering for anyone else's actions. It's between us and Allah. فَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. We need to look at what is our choice. What are we doing? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Are we avoiding what we're supposed to avoid? That's for beginners, that's what we've been emphasized and told repeatedly. The first thing is al-wara' an maharim Allah. Al-wara' an maharim Allah doesn't mean to make other things haram. Doesn't mean that this restaurant that's a Muslim selling his meat and he says it's halal, that I say, oh, I'm not sure, I'm not going to take. Why is this is called wara'? This is not called wara'. Because the Ahlul Bayt say, if it's a Muslim, it's bad for you to have suspicion towards him. Take it considered halal. It's halal and tayyiba for you. And if he's a fasiq and he fed you haram meat, for you it's perfectly halal. For him, he's going to go to hell for doing that. That's not wara'. Shaitan, this is one of the fitan of shaitan, brothers and sisters. Confusing us. Bogs us down with these types of muharramat for us to get distracted from the real muharramat. The haram is backbiting. The haram is saying words that I'm not allowed to, disrespecting my spouse, my children, my parents, my siblings, believers, lying. Amirul Mu'mineen says one of the worst sins is lying. Imam al-Hussein in Karbala says, from the time I knew myself and I knew my God, I never lied. The worst thing is to lie. We lie, unfortunately. No lying, period. Nothing justifies lying. At whatever level. We have hadith, don't even lie as a joke. Don't even lie as a joke, because you're going to get used to it. You're going to get into lying where you're not going to consider it as bad anymore when you joke around with it. These are serious muharramat. Betraying the trust of a person. Signing a contract, a deal, and breaking it afterwards. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu awfu bil'uqood. Surah Ma'idah begins with this. Awfu bil'uqood. Here I am, I do my business. I don't listen to what God says about business. Muslim or kafir, there's rules that we have in Islam. There's rules Islam has given us. Awfu bil'uqood. If you sign a contract, be careful what you sign. If you sign a contract that Allah allows you to sign, you commit to a contract that Allah allows you to commit to, even if the other side is non-Muslim, you have to hold your end. Whether they do it or not, it's their business. It's not your business. Yes, afterwards, if they didn't, then there's other, whatever the rules are. Awfu bil'uqood. We get involved with transactions, business. We don't care what God says is halal and haram. We don't care what type of commitment we're not allowed to give, what type of contract we're not allowed to. We don't even study to know it. If this is how we're living, we're not careful of what we say, our tongues at home, outside. Some of us learn, unfortunately, in this world, there's fake akhlaq, especially here in California. Fake akhlaq. knowing how to be pleasant in a fake way, smile to the person where you need to. It's not going to make you a better person if you have fake akhlaq. Islam calls it hypocrisy. Doesn't mean to show bad akhlaq. Be genuine with your good akhlaq. Don't act humble, be humble. That sometimes means I need to force myself. Yes, that's not hypocrisy. I need to force myself, bite my tongue. We have hadith, when you get angry, bite your tongue so you don't say anything. We unleash that tongue in anger. We have another hadith that says, anger is like this flame that is put in the heart. Shaitan gets under your skin. He doesn't leave you until you go into hell. What does that mean? Until shaitan makes you do something that takes you to hell. Some sin, haram. This is نَجَى الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَى. Those who are consistently implementing these basic rules of taqwa. Their behavior towards others is the way God says it is. Their transactions are the way God says they should be. Their akhlaq is the way God says it should be. It's not only the prayers. We emphasize on the prayer, yes. Prayer is amududdin. But prayer is inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. The prayer prohibits one from fahsha, ugly deeds, wal munkar, wrong deeds. If I am involved with the prayer superficially and I don't care what fahsha, what ugly deed, what munkar, what wrong deed I'm involved with, this is not prayer, because at salatu tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Salat is amududdin because it reminds you of Allah. It causes you, when you want to say something, to think, is Allah okay with this? Salat is dhikrullah. Wala dhikrullahi akbar, the Quran says regarding salat and prayer. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. But then hadith says, make sure you're constantly in the remembrance of Allah. And then the Imam says, I don't mean saying La ilaha illallah and Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah. I mean to constantly be in the remembrance of Allah, thinking, is this halal that I'm doing or is it haram and I should stop? Is there a wajib that I need to be involved with right now that I'm not involved with? This is remembrance of Allah. The wajib remembrance of Allah. These are times of fitna, brothers and sisters. We need to study haqq from the Qur'an and the words of the Ahlul Bayt. And whatever we learn of it in our personal lives, we need to implement. We need to implement. That's that taqwa. You read the Qur'an, you learn things from it. You read the hadith, you learn things from it. We have a choice of going by that or not going by it. God forbid we take it lightly. We read Ali ibn Abi Talib's words, we like it, we praise it, we love the eloquence, but we don't act upon it. We read Imam al-Sadiq's words, Salamullah alayh, we cry for him, we love his words when mentioned, we don't care to put them into practice. God forbid. And inshallah, if we implement those, the soul, the heart will be purified. Amirul Mu'mineen says, in fitna, نَجَى الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَى. If we have a track record, even if I don't know that specific detail, this specific, I tried. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, you need to learn haqq. I tried. Doesn't mean I'm going to become like him that knows everything. I did my taklif. I started to learn to the best of my ability. That was part of my taklif. You did that. You implemented what you learned. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, نَجَى الَّذِينَ سَبَقَتْ لَهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْحُسْنَى. You did your right thing, you did your taklif, in learning what's right and what's wrong, implementing it to the best of your ability, repenting every time you had shortcomings, failures. سبق نجا الذين سبقت لهم من الله الحسنى. And then the last point on that, brothers and sisters, is that there are those that in a fitna, not only that naja in the sense of not going in the wrong direction, you have people that fitna is actually designed to elevate them. It was in the context of the fitna of Karbala that Zuhair went from being an Uthmani to being a Husayni. It's because of that fitna that Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, who made some mistakes, but based on what Amir al-Mu'mineen said, he was not awliya or shaitan. He seemed to be on their side. He did make some mistakes, some very bad mistakes at times. But he wasn't someone that didn't care about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Naja, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. What does that mean? He left Karbala. He left the ones who were fighting Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. No, he became one of the shuhada of Karbala. These ends of times where we have these fitan, it's not only something to worry about, I don't go off course. If you're trying to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if your heart is filled with this fervor to meet the Lord, to be with Allah, to be with His face, with the Prophet, with Amirul Mu'mineen, with the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, with the Ahlul Bayt, if the heart gravitates strong enough in that direction, in the context of these fitan, these believers will have more and more opportunities to ascend to levels that, according to the ahadith, people prior to these times didn't have. These fitan are, in a sense, and from a certain perspective, and it's important for us to see it in that way, are dangerous. We have to worry. We've been warned. At the same time, the same fitna is an opportunity for some to ascend. These are opportunities, brothers and sisters, for us to ascend above and beyond, progress above and beyond, become the companions of the 12th Imam before his coming in the context of these fitan. In an environment where everything is easy, those special companions are not going to be developed through hard and difficult training. Those companions will be trained. This context of fitan is an opportunity that Allah creates for those who want to get closer to Allah, for those who want to be companions of the 12th Imam, for them to be raised above and beyond. Some are being raised. Some are elevating. I hope we don't get left out. Sallallahu alayk, ya Abu Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya mazlum. Sallallahu الشهيد بكربلاء عطشانا May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Imam al-Husayn. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. My beloved oppressed Imam, the Imam who was slaughtered by the shores of the Euphrates, while his mouth was dry of thirst. Ruhi fidaka ya Mawlai, ya Aba Abdillah. I'm not sure where your head is these days. I'm not sure if it's arrived in Sham yet or not. I'm not sure if Yazid the Mal'un has used his stick on your lips and teeth. Ya Aba Abdillah, I'm not sure where your Sakina is. I'm not sure where your Zainab is. But I'm sure they want to see you again. I'm sure the lady Zainab salamullahi alayha cannot wait to lie her glance on her brother Imam al-Husayn. Ya Aba Abdillah, Ya Husayn, what did you do to deserve this treatment? What did you do that you deserve for your head to be taken from city to city? What did you do that made you deserve to be thrown rocks at even after your shahada? Ya Hussein, Ya Mawlai, I know that every part of that has made you a beloved servant of Allah. I want to ask you, Ya Aba Abdillah, can it be that you make me one of your close companions, one of your soldiers? Can you share some of what happened to you that made you Allah's favorite? Brothers and sisters, everything they did to Hussein, killing his companions and children, Shimr putting his boots on Imam al-Husayn's chest, his head traveling from city to city, every part of that was a crime of his enemies, but was something that caused him to be a favorite in God's book. Let's all wish, Ya Aba Abdillah, can you give us some of that as well? Can we have the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt treat us in the same way? When we meet Imam al-Husayn, he can tell us, you resembled me with the treatment you got from the enemies. Ala la'natullah على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. يا حسين
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai Zainab, Bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai Zainab, Bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana khayam jale be saro saman hai zana khayam jale be saro saman hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana sar nange tera sham ke bazaron mein jana sar nange tera sham ke bazaron mein jana islam pe ye aa ka ehsaan hai zana islam pe ye aap ka ehsaan hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana khayam jale be saro saman hai zana khayam jale be saro saman hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana ummat ne qatl naat ke quran ko kiya hai ummat ne qatl naat ke quran ko kiya hai tafsiron ki jangal mein nigehban hai zana tafsiron ki jangal mein nigehban hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana khayam jale be saro saman hai zana khayam jale be saro saman hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai islam ki tareekh mein surkhi se raqam hai islam ki tareekh mein surkhi se raqam hai shabir ke afsane ki tu jaan hai zana shabir ke afsane ki tu jaan hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana khayam jale be saro saman hai zana khayam jale be saro saman hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan hai zana bhai ki shahadat se pareshan ناصر کہے امت سے فدک مل نہیں سکتا, ناصر کہے امت سے فدک مل نہیں سکتا, کہ اس کا بدل شام کا زندان ہے زینب, کہ اس کا بدل شام کا زندان ہے زینب, بھائی کی شہادت سے پریشان ہے زینب, جے کدی سین تیرا غازی بھیرا نامردا, 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 نہ کوئی خیمہ سڑدا نہ لٹیندا تیرا پردا, نہ کوئی خیمہ سڑدا نہ لٹیندا تیرا پردا, جے کدی سین تیرا غازی بھیرا نامردا, 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 جے کدی سین آئی خیمے جو صدا تیر نہ ماری ظالم, آئی خیمے جو صدا تیر نہ ماری ظالم, بہو نازک ہے گلا میرے علی اصغر دا, بہو نازک ہے گلا میرے علی اصغر دا, جے کدی سین تیرا غازی بھیرا نامردا, جے کدی سین تیرا غازی بھیرا نامردا, نہ کوئی خیمہ سڑدا نہ لٹیندا تیرا پردا, نہ کوئی خیمہ سڑدا نہ لٹیندا تیرا پردا, جے کدی سین تیرا غازی بھیرا نامردا, جے کدی سین تیرا کوئی مدینے جا کے سغرا نوں اطلاع دےوے, کوئی مدینے جا کے سغرا نوں اطلاع دےوے, آخری ویلائی آ ویخ لے منہ اکبر دا, آخری ویلائی آ ویخ لے منہ اکبر دا, جے کدی سین تیرا غازی بھیرا نامردا, جے کدی سین تیرا غازی بھیرا نامردا, نہ کوئی خیمہ سڑدا نہ لٹیندا تیرا پردا, نہ کوئی خیمہ سڑدا نہ لٹیندا تیرا پردا, جے کدی سین تیرا غازی بھیرا نامردا, جے کدی سین تیرا جے کدی سین تیرا غازی بھیرا نامردا, جے کدی سین جے کدی سین تیرا غازی بھیرا نامردا, جے بازاراں وچ زینب نوں نہ لے کے آندے, جے بازاراں وچ زینب نوں نہ لے کے آندے, نہ کوئی روندا ایتھا نہ کوئی ماتم کردا, نہ کوئی روندا ایتھا نہ کوئی ماتم کردا, جے کدی سین تیرا غازی بھیرا نامردا, نہ کوئی خیمہ سڑدا نہ لٹیندا تیرا پردا, نہ کوئی خیمہ سڑدا نہ لٹیندا تیرا پردا, جے کدی سین تیرا غازی بھیرا نامردا, یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین یا حسین.
صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا خير خلق الله، ويا خاتم النبيين وصفوة المرسلين، صلى الله عليك يا أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب وصي رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين، صلى الله عليك يا أبا محمد يا حسن ابن علي أيها المجتبى، صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك، عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم، السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. صلى الله عليك يا غريب الغرباء ويا معين الضعفاء والفقراء، السلطان أبا الحسن يا علي بن موسى أيها الرضا المرتضى، صلى الله عليك وعلى آبائك وأبنائك جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. صلى الله عليك يا مولاي يا بقية الله يا حجة الله، عجل الله تعالى فرجك وسهل الله تعالى مخرجك وظهورك، وجعلنا من خير أعوانك وأنصارك والمستشهدين بين يديك. صلى الله عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. صلوات.
Brothers and sisters, just a quick reminder about next week's program. We have two programs next week for the Shahada of Bibi Sakina, Salamullah Alayha. So two programs, Friday night and Saturday night, and Thursday night program is online, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.